Well, good morning, beloved community. Thank you again for joining us today here on Facebook Live. My name is Steve Sargent. I'm the minister here at Southwest Central Church of Christ, and it's good to be here with you as always. Let us know who is with you, who's sitting with you, who's watching with you today. Even if you are watching this at a later time, feel free to make a comment, and we'll have in some way a record of your attendance and your participation in the service today. Y'all always do a great job of doing that anyway, but there's that reminder nevertheless. Today is the first Sunday in the season of Lent. It is also number 48 that we have, 48 consecutive Sundays that we've been not meeting together in person, just here online. Hopefully that gets to change in the coming weeks, hopefully months or less than months. There's been some encouraging news on that front. But we'll continue to be patient until we can meet here in person again. Well, I hope that you are warm and well and watered. What a crazy week we had this last week. I hope that you made it through okay. If you had damage to some of your property, your house, let us know if we don't already know. We'd love to make a note of that and help out in ways that we can. All right, who is here with me? I've got King up in the sound booth. Brent is going to lead us in worship. I've got Chelsea and Cora here. Cora, in a moment, will come and light our Christ candle. And we're going to gather as always, bringing whatever we have, whoever we are, whatever our weeks have been like, whatever is going on in our hearts, our spirits, our minds, we're bringing that to God yet again. So draw near today. We're going to do that through a psalm. We're going to do that through communion, through singing, through a benediction, and through a word from God, hopefully. So grab some bread, some wine, some juice, whatever you got. We'll share in the Lord's Supper a little bit later today. Cora's going to come light our Christ candle, and then I will read our psalm for the day. You want to open your Bibles. Psalm 25 is where we'll be. We'll be here the rest of the morning as well. Psalm 25. O Lord, I give my life to you. I trust in you, my God. Do not let me be disgraced or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced, but disgrace comes from those who try to deceive others. Show me the right path, O Lord. Teach me the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your unfailing love, which you have shown from long ages past. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love, for you are merciful, O Lord. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep his commandment, who keep his covenant and obey his demands. Let's sing together.
Good morning, church. Today we're going to sing, Unto Thee, O Lord, and Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Mm-hmm. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul? O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with whole nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you, Brent, as always. Two great songs for this morning. All right, so those of you who are in Roots or Miss Martha's elementary class, you should have a leaves bulletin that looks something like this, and I want to apologize to you. At the top of the back page, I wrote, "This past Wednesday began Lent." Lent means spring, as in the season of spring. In Houston, it's still It's still winter, though warm temperatures and new leaves on the trees may tell us differently. I did this about 2 weeks ago, not knowing that we'd have a massive winter storm come our way. So you can disregard that little part, but follow the rest of the activities on the sheet if you would like. And also, if you are in Roots Age or Miss Martha's class, we have something else for you during this Lenten season. How many of you know who Momo is? Do you know Momo? Momo is a mixed breed dog whose human takes pictures of Momo, the dog, in these beautiful scenes. Momo hides in the scenes and his human takes a picture of Momo. And it's our job when we're looking at the book to find Momo. Where is Momo hiding in the scene? It's kind of like an updated version of Where's Waldo, if you can think about that. During Lent, we're going to play our own version of that. It's called Find Jesus. Here's our Jesus right here. I found this in the resource room, so thank you, Miss Martha, for that. This Jesus has a little bit of a scowl on his face, and so I'm not sure what's going on, but we're going to use it nevertheless. We're going to do this because during Lent, we are always looking for Jesus. During Lent, we're always looking for Jesus. Jesus says, come and find me. Come and locate me. Come and discover where I am. Always we are looking for Jesus. And so throughout these next several weeks, I'm going to hide this Jesus somewhere behind me. It's going to be a different spot each week. And so here's what I'd like you to do right now. If you are Roots Age or elementary, in fact, everyone, you can close your eyes just for about 10 seconds until I come back up on the screen and let you know that Jesus is hidden, and then you can look for him, okay? Here we go, eyes closed, all right. All right, can you find Jesus? We're always looking for him. Let's pray together. O God, who always searches for us too, who always waits for us, we give you thanks. And this day, meet us right where we're at and pour forth through me the gift of preaching. Give us ears to hear. It's through Christ that we pray. Amen. Every Sunday, we read a psalm during our services, one that relates for the most part to the text I'll be preaching from. We do that not as a time filler or as some kind of requirement, but as a way to center ourselves into worship and more specifically to center ourselves into the heart of God. It probably goes without saying, but the Psalms we read do not belong to us. They are not our licensed property. I did not write them. You did not compile them. They came from the Israelites, from the Bible, from the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These Israelites wrote and used the Psalms in worship and for worship, a kind of bound hymnal that the people memorized and heard spoken aloud. These were the songs of faith that the people of God sang. They were the songs that carried them. The Psalms had several functions, and here are two of them. First, they were Israel's addressed speech to God. Throughout the Psalms, we find a wide range of speeches to God, types of speeches. You've got loud, raucous celebrations that demand full bands. You've got grievous laments and a thousand doubts. You've got deep-seated anger and a wrathful vengeance. These are the intimate and remarkable words to God that, again, was part of their worship. A second function of the Psalms, not only are the Psalms addressed to God, they are also God's spoken word to the people. God tells us who he is and what he's about. God responds to their worship and meets them in their pain, speaks to their doubts. The Psalms lure their attention to God, and the people yield themselves to God's reign. Jesus, rabbi and good Jew that he was, read and prayed the Psalms. He referred to them often, even quoting one of them while his body dangled on the cross on Good Friday. The Psalms may not be our possession, but as a people who love God also, we are invited to partake in them. For 5 weeks, we will do so, joining in that ageless and ongoing conversation of faith. During the season of Lent, which began just this past Wednesday, this conversation is very appropriate. The lingering metaphor throughout the 40 days of Lent is that of wilderness. In Lent, the wilderness is not an actual spot on a map with latitude and longitude. It's a metaphor for that intimidating place within you where pretenses are dropped and false securities abandon you. Although you are not physically standing in a barren desert, the spiritual nature of it becomes your home. Absent of non-wilderness trappings and distractions, the wilderness enables us, ready or not, to face ourselves, to admit our mortality, to confess our sin, to see our weaknesses, to touch the wounds that mark us. Most strikingly, when we enter into the Lenten wilderness, it is done so voluntarily. No one, including myself, will force you. I can't fault you if you want to take a pass on thinking about death and sin and wounds this year. It seems like we never left Lent from last year, given all the dying and brittleness of the last 12 months. But we go as a church intentionally into the wilderness for this reason: to draw near to God. With open ears and open hands, open hearts, and permit God, if permission is needed, to rearrange our ordered lives so that they move ever closer to the kingdom way that is already prepared for us. The Psalms will guide us on that way, as will Jesus, for he is an excellent guide and an unsettling one for such a walk as this. Psalm 25, the one that I read just a few moments ago, is our first guide. We are somewhat familiar with this escort, with the Unto Thee, O Lord song that Brent sang over us. We know that one well. This is where this psalm is where that song comes from. Less familiar is that this psalm is an acrostic. You know what an acrostic poem is, right? The first line of first letter of each line spells out a word like brunch or tacos or avocado, something like that. Psalm 25 is an alphabet acrostic, with each line starting with the next letter of the alphabet, A, B, C, D, and so forth, except these are not English letters, they are Hebrew letters. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav, Zion, Het, Tet, Yod, and so forth. I'm sure you can quote them yourself. In Psalm 25, you see 22 verses, and there are 22 Hebrew letters, each line starting with a different letter in order. What the acrostic is for us, and we only read 10 verses of it, it's like a packing list. Going into the Lenten wilderness, walking into the desert on purpose, what do we need to bring with us? What do we need to pack? What do we not need to forget? And from there, by knowing what we should pack, we can then surmise what we should probably just leave behind. The psalm recommends that we carry two things: a certain prayer and a certain posture. Like most of you, we lost power at our house last week, lost it around 6 p.m. on Tuesday, and remained out until Friday afternoon. On Tuesday, after a dinner of Havarti cheese, black olives, and wheat thins, we loaded up our coolers to save what food we could. Then we hunkered down for the night with with Cora under a mountain of blankets on a pallet in our bedroom. Candles and flashlights steered us through the darkness. Water trickled out of the faucets, enough to brush my teeth, but not near enough for me to shower, much to the chagrin of my wife. What I could have done, now that I think about it, was shower here at the church, because not one but two water pipes in the ceiling burst, one in the fellowship hall and one in the main building. Could have just stuck my head under the flow and rinsed my hair, and also, now that I think about it, I basically did do that as I tried to fix the issues. When I was not playing plumber or trying to stay warm, I read and studied for the sermon this week. Tried to, at least. And the first lines of today's psalm goes like this. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, in you I trust. There was a lot of lifting up and a lot of trusting for me in these past few days, and I'm sure there was for you as well. I also heard about the ways that you took care of each other, and thank you for doing that. When we read Psalm 25, we don't know what specifically is going on in the author's life that makes him pray this, I lift up my soul to you prayer, but it probably was not about the strained power grid or frozen pipes. David, the attributed author, leaves us a few clues, but they're mostly abstract and inconclusive. Do not let my enemies triumph over me, he writes, but doesn't tell us who the enemies are or how they are threatening him. Remember not the sins of my youth, he says, but he does not provide the spicy details of what those might be. Whatever it is, the writer opens the psalm with a profound prayer. I'm thinking of our friend and sister and mother, Noveline Booker, when she was still able to attend services here. When we opened with our gathering song, our call to worship, Navi would stand up even if nobody else was standing. And she would raise her hands to the heavens on the other side of this high ceiling in this auditorium. It didn't matter if it was blue skies and rainbows like Lucy sang over us last week, or the doxology, Navi would elevate her hands at the very beginning as a way to praise the God that she did not create and to lift up her soul to God. At the very beginning of this psalm, the writer does the same. Here's where I am at. Right from the start, I'm lifting up my soul to you, all that I am, all that I have, all that I want to be. And I don't know if that's enough, but I'm lifting it to you anyway and regardless. Lifting up our hands, our souls, the very core of our human beingness. It's our way of saying that our lives are entirely and only dependent on the help of God. Yes, with busted water pipes and our warm daily bread, but also with everything that we have and everything that we are. Since we lift up our souls instead of burying them within ourselves, we are in essence saying what the psalmist says next. My God, I trust in you. My breath, my next step, my days, my tomorrows are in your care. My hope and my refuge are in you. If it takes some time to learn to say those things, that's okay. It might take even longer to believe them. But Lent calls us to a patient trust, keeping to the road ever before us. Along with this prayer, the second thing Psalm 25 asks us to carry into the wilderness is a posture of learning. I, like you, have had wonderful teachers in my life, women and men, who've taught me in such a way to make subjects come alive or at least more appealing. Mrs. Webb challenged me to complete a sixth grade math textbook when I was in the fourth grade, and then she took me to Red Lobster when I actually did it. Dr. King, my first non-white teacher, taught Bible at my Christian school during my eighth grade year. And when the Oklahoma City bombing happened in 1995, he asked us, "Where was God?" Mrs. Brooks, my senior year of high school, showed me the beauty of poetry, even though I did not learn to appreciate it until 12 years later. Dr. Foster, in undergrad and grad school, illuminated church history for me, claiming that our past affects our present and can also inform our future. Teachers shape us. In Psalm 25, David writes, "Show me your ways. Teach me, O Lord, your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." There is a kind of being taught that does not come from reading a book or compiling a bunch of information or even sitting cross-legged at the feet of heroic teachers. This kind of education must come from God. We do not know which way to go or where to turn or what to do. We must learn it. Learning and being taught comes for us, church, from following Jesus around. What is he saying? What is he doing? Where is he going and why? It's this studious posture that God asked of us last week on the Mount of Transfiguration. "This is my son. Listen to him." It takes quite a bit of humility, even for established Christians, to maintain this posture of learning, sometimes falling into the trap of thinking we've already got it together. Often, though, if we're honest, we would much rather follow the seductive voices that guarantee smooth streets and quick fixes and easy promises. Lent, however, is a time for learning how to recognize the difference between those deceitful securities and God's good voice of assurance, protection, and deliverance. The God of the wilderness, the Jesus of the Jerusalem road, says, "There is a better way. Come and die with me, and I will show you what it means to live." We'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. Overall, Psalm 25 invites us to carry two things into the wilderness: a certain prayer, "I lift up my soul," and a certain posture, "Teach me your paths." Taken together, what's happening is the healing of the soul and the honing of the soul. That is the aim for the rest of Lent for us, a healing and a honing that happens only by the grace of God and from the Christ who promises to go with us. It's together we say aloud or we type, "Amen." The Christ who goes with us also meets us and is with us at the table. So that bread that's right there before you, that's Christ's body. The cup that's before you, that's Christ's bread, or Christ's blood. So eat and drink in remembrance that Christ is here with us and with each other and among each other. Let's share this meal together right now. Let me please also remind you that we still give. We still have an offering. You can give your offerings, your contributions, your money to the congregation through the website. You can bring it up to the building, drop it in the mail, and we'll take care of it any way that you give it. Thanks, as always, friends. Two announcements today. You may have seen in the newsletter, I think we only sent out an electronic one this week because of the winter storm, but in that newsletter, Jackie Graham's baby shower is moved from today to next Sunday to give everyone just time to breathe again and let some stores open up and give us some supplies that we can then pass on and bless to Jackie and her family, her coming child. That will be next Sunday now, the 28th. Between 3 and 4, this is a drive-through celebration in the parking lot of our main building. Coming through the carport, you can lean out the window, hand gifts, and say hey. If you're walking, then or driving, please remember to wear your masks. One more thing, Chelsea's class begins today. She's teaching a class on spiritual disciplines. If you want to be a part of that, which I think would be a great Lenten thing to do, if you want to be a part of that class, it begins at 11:15 today. Email either myself or King, and we will shoot you a Zoom link so you can be a part of that class. That will start at 11:15 this morning in about 30 minutes or so. Okay, that's what I got today. Chelsea is going to come and send us out in benediction. Thank you for being here today, my friends.
Good morning. Steve's going to bring me back over one of the things I'm going to read.
Sorry about that.
One of the things that we are going to do throughout this entire Lent season is we're going to read from Numbers 6. So this verse is going to guide us and send us out each week. And I think Steve has done a really great job of setting us up for this week of this season of wilderness and waiting and looking for Jesus. I hope that you've been able to find Jesus in our scene behind us today, and including our kids in that each week, I think, is going to be quite meaningful. So from Numbers 6, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. As we continue to journey together into this Lent season, I pray peace over you this week.